Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, as we continue in our study today of Christian liberty, I began this past week by saying we all would just like to be told what to do in our Christian living, right? We all like a list of rules that would really define our Christianity well, present it clearly and easy to achieve. You should read your Bible this much every day. You should behave just like this. Not smoke, not drink, no TV, no dancing, and so on and so on. If we could make our Christianity that easy and that practical, we all would become good Pharisees, wouldn't we? Check off the list. We're all doing well. We're achieving all we can be. And of course, I said such an approach quickly turns us into a new sort of legalism. Since we've been wired for law, that's what we want. But I've noticed in the application section of Romans that we don't have that kind of application. Just tell me what to do. Everything is quite general. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you could ask the question, how? I mean, Paul is giving general commands. And I think today people would be quite critical of Paul's preaching. It's not practical. It's not applicational enough. And that, of course, arises from people who are seeking to have their spirituality flow from their pastor and not discern for themselves how they are to apply what the Bible says to their lives. Well, God has given us today the design for Christian living in terms of our liberty, because he knows that in any given church, you have the strong and you have the weak, and these convictions can totally separate a church, totally divide a church, and really destroy a church if they're not handled in the way that the Lord defines and here outlines for us. So you have the weak and you have the strong. I think of something C.S. Lewis once said. One of the marks of a certain kind of bad man is that he cannot give up a thing himself without wanting everyone else to give it up also. That's not the Christian way. An individual Christian may see fit to give up all sorts of things for special reasons. Marriage, meat, beer, cinema, whatever it is. But the moment he starts saying that things are bad in themselves or looking down his nose at other people who do not use them, he's taken the wrong turning. And I think this is why a lot of people today reject Christianity, when we present it as a legalistic set of rules and not the wonderful news upon resting and trusting in Christ that frees us from being in bondage to rules and law, but now frees us to live in thankfulness to the law, not as a way of earning anything, but because Christ has already earned it for us. It's a whole different approach to our Christianity. So he has outlined for us how to resolve these tensions and these problems with the weaker, among the weaker and the strong. And remember the call this week. If you're strong, here's what God is commanding. If your actions are causing grief to a brother, forego. That's genuine love in these areas of liberty. God is not concerned until we begin to hurt others ourselves and give offense. And yesterday we looked at the fact that too much is at stake. He says in verse 16, don't let your good be spoken of as evil. And that good there really is that which flows from the gospel. Don't let the gospel that has freed you in these things be spoken of as evil. Paul is so concerned about our fellowship and our witness in the most important thing. Remember in Philippians, he wrote, in this I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all of discernment, that you test the things which are excellent. What are the things that are excellent, right? Well, what was happening in that church? Their disputes over the little things, over the gray area things, were attacking the very thing that had originally united them as one. Their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, what was the calling? Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And you do that by having a mind that does what? Well, he goes on in chapter 2 of Philippians to say that is lowly and that esteems others better than yourself. That's a hard thing for people to do, isn't it? Esteem others better than ourselves? Well, that's Paul's aim here. Don't let the good thing that makes you what you are be an opportunity for people to speak against the grace of Christ. Because when we do this, we forget what the gospel of the kingdom truly is. It's not an eating and drinking. The gospel of the kingdom, right, is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so the apostle called us in verse 19. He says, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. So the church here is viewed as an edifice, as a building. We can either be an agent of the Lord in building up the body of Christ, all these living stones, and building up this holy temple that is going up right now, not a literally man-made temple, but a holy temple that is being built up of living stones that is growing more and more beautiful, or we can be an agent in destroying God's work. So we have to always ask, are we building or destroying? Now, if God is telling us something once, we should listen. Twice, even more so. But three times? He repeats it again in Romans 14, verse 20. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So, you hear what he's saying. To the strong are you hearing? This is what he said in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weaker brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Now listen to this. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat again meat, lest I make my brother stumble. It's that last line, isn't it? If my liberty makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again. That's a tough calling in a day of our own rights and people's rights. Let me give you one more example today. In Acts 15, we have this played out. The context is fascinating. The issue is whether the Gentiles who were coming in droves needed to be circumcised. In verse 5, the Pharisees were saying it's necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. That's total legalism. That was total bondage. So they have this huge church council. Much dispute happens. The pastors come together. They dispute this. Peter stands up. Acts 15, verse 10. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Now, listen to the judgment. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. Now that's something. Now some have said, what a compromise. But what this does is demonstrate exactly what Paul is teaching. The council honored the truth that the Gentiles did not need to be circumcised to be saved. They took a strong stance against that. But notice also what happened. The council was concerned about the consciences of the weaker brothers, the Jewish brothers, still tied to their traditions. So they outlined a few practices that if the Gentiles did, it would be a stumbling block for the weaker Jews. So they wrote them saying, look, abstain from foods offered to idols. Now, the truth was, it doesn't matter. Food doesn't commend us to God, 1 Corinthians 8:8. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we drink are we the worse. But beware, notice this, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. The point is, the council asks the strong to forego their liberty for the sake of their weaker brothers. Isn't that what God's calling us to? He says, you want to insist upon your strong position? You want to be unrestrained in your freedom? Do you have faith? Keep that conviction between yourself and God, that conviction you have. And recognize that when you exercise your liberty to your brother's discouragement, you may be causing his conscience great grief if you do it. He says, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats. He's saying, always consider what you're doing to your brother's conscience, because if your liberty has become a stumbling block, you're condemning their conscience. You get the point. Everything that is done in thought, word, and deed, if it's against one's conscience in these areas of liberty, is sin. Remember what Jesus said? Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And that's what God holds out for us today, something different. He's after a heart that is overwhelmed that God would nail his son to the cross, that I might have his righteousness. He's after what a true knowledge of what it really means to have peace with God should be as it spills over in how we love one another. He certainly is not after a list of rules so that we can become Pharisees and boast in our own progress, but the kind of joy that is diffused in wanting everyone else to have what we have. For we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. That kind of life is rare. It removes all Phariseeism that resides in our hearts, and it casts us upon the mercies of Christ, that our lives being given to him would show forth what genuine transformation looks like in how we love one another, showing among us what the love of Christ has done in our own hearts.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.